This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
O'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing the show. We'll get to the trash of the day in 20 minutes. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Staflin Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running as well. We'll talk a little Royals baseball briefly here in about 8 minutes or so with what happened over the weekend, including Bobby Wood Jr.'s back spasms that's kept him out of the lineup the last 2 days. And the countdown continues to go for the postseason here with under 20 games to go now, I think it is.
Yeah, 19, 20, something like that.
Run out of time. We'll talk about it.
Oh, 19, yeah. They're 73 and 70, right? They've settled into above 500. And God, I just want them to go on a run. Guardians and Phillies for the next 7 games. And then they get the Mariners series next week. So we'll get a good feeling of it here pretty soon. We'll talk some Royals baseball. But like you said, Bobby Wood Jr., now, obviously, off there, a little bit of a problem, too. I was watching the game, and obviously, we all had the same observation. And if you didn't have this observation, I genuinely think we were watching different football games. There were only a couple of people I saw even contrary. Patrick Mahomes on Friday was incredible. He was an incredible football player. Take out the results of the game or whatever. He was amazing. He was doing superhuman stuff. He was making passes from everywhere. Didn't matter if there was pressure, no pressure. He was dropping dimes. He was running. He was doing everything for this team, which is a common occurrence, unfortunately, in games in which it seems like are the hardest for the Chiefs to win. In games that are close or back to fourth, when they're like dead to rights, which is what it felt like early in the game against the Chargers, that's when Mahomes goes to a whole nother level. My problem is that when I see those games, instead of being happy that Patrick Mahomes is a superhuman who you should be happy is on your team and does things that other quarterbacks in the NFL can't do, I am instead reminded is I think he's just secretly hiding bigger problems all the time. That generally speaking, their roster has not quite been up to the standard of the other rosters of the good teams in the AFC, and that those games highlight where he masks a lot of deficiency that might exist from time to time.
Don't all the great ones, though?
They do. It's not even like a knock. It's like, I just feels like something we're supposed to say out loud in order to acknowledge it. Because that's what, he had no wide receivers. The offensive line still had problems, right? I mean, I assume we all saw in the pass he made to Hollywood Brown, does it count as a block if you don't touch a guy in what Kingsley did against Khalil Mack? Did he get a finger on him before he was through the line coming at Patrick Mahomes? It doesn't matter who he's throwing to. It doesn't matter who the offensive line is. And unfortunately for us, I think you put it out in pregame, which is some of the coolest plays of Patrick Mahomes' careers, you can't even get the signed photo of.
No, I still can't get that one framed either, because the one in the Bucs Super Bowl where he was, hovering over the field as he threw it, that one you can't frame up. It happened in a bad Super Bowl loss. And then this one happened in a loss as well. So yeah, we're 0-2 on throws like that you definitely can't get the still frame on it. I don't think it makes sense to frame that thing up. it is definitely a sign, though, of other issues. I think it reminds you, though, why you still have a chance every single game to win, though, with that said.
Yeah,
like, that's where it's like the panic and the issues are all there. But, you know, the world is ending. They now stink. Going to win 8 games kind of stuff is ridiculous. And it's a very select few that are texting that, by the way. It's not the majority of the fan base, but there's some of you. And that, because you have 15, you're in games, you have no business. Like, the game on Friday night, the way it played out, they had no business to win it. They still had a chance to win only, and I mean only, because Patrick Mahomes exists on this planet. So that's where you're right. Like, it means things are not going well when he has to start making plays like that. 100% with you. It also is why they have a chance still to win every game, even when they clearly have some issues they have to work through over the next 5 or 6 weeks.
That's, you know what? In a weird way, you're right. Maybe that's the encouragement I should take away. For anybody who's saying, well, now they're going to go 3-3 or 2-4, and they're going to lose to the Ravens and lose to the Lions and lose to the Eagles, which are all games they have, by the way, on their schedule before Rashee Rice comes back. I would remind you that by some miracle, in the third quarter of that game, they were a Harrison Butker extra point away from tying it in the middle of the third quarter, and they still had a chance to get a stop on defense in order to get the ball back for the offense to do it. Now, I will say, like, that Butker ended up playing like a big factor because it got him down 2 scores and all that other stuff. And look, he made a crazy kick before half that team, I mean, kudos to them and their special teams department for getting that thing off at all and for Butker for making the kick. Well, the extra point just changed the dynamic of, like, what they had to go for win. And that was a team that was still in it until the very end, until Justin Herbert made a scramble to get a first down. The Chiefs were still alive.
And if we look at what happened last season or the seasons before that, I think that the defense being as good as they were helped them win the game where the defense wasn't that great. And what happened, they lost the game. Like, even going back to last season with a particular team, or even in the Bills game, I think, where the defense couldn't stop a nosebleed and Josh Allen had to be Superman. Like, they found a way to win it. But I think if the Bills would have lost that game last night, people would have come away with the same sort of question where Josh Allen played at an MVP level and it didn't happen. Where I think last year, and I'll talk about it for 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Joe Burrow had to do the same thing last year and the defense didn't show up and we saw what happened. I think that's a lot of what happened in this Chiefs game where everything went wrong and Patrick Mahomes was good enough to give them a shot, but it wasn't good enough to win the game in the end. With the Chiefs defense, they should be better. So it's not going to continue to snowball, I don't think. But I think this game, and then if the Bills would have lost, would have been eerily similar from the quarterback playing at an all-time level and coming away with a loss in the end.
I think it was the best quote any player or any coach gave after the game, and it was when Mahomes had said after what you're saying, Drew, which is, what we learned here is we can't always just come from behind. There is no team who comes down from double-digit losses more than the Chiefs. They are historically like a 650 winning percentage when trailing by double digits, which is like 40% better than the rest of the NFL on average. Like, I think the regular winning percentage is like 250, and he wins it over a 600 pace. And he said, it was good for us to know we can't just always come from behind and do it again. And that's why, like, this game, like, it doesn't bother me that Mahomes came up short this time. Historically, when they are down and out and down double digits, he does come from behind way more than any other person on the planet should even have business doing because of the way he played in that game. But it is good to learn the lesson of you can't always just come from behind. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know if the quote makes sense. I don't know if it was like my favorite thing in general, because I would say, like, did you really need that for that to let you guys know?
Like, I'm used to it.
I think the Super Bowl should have told you, you know, that. I thought the whole storyline all offseason was that they're motivated, they're on a revenge tour, they're going to go prove people wrong and all this. And then after the game, they said they didn't meet that moment. That was jarring to me, actually.
That one was the most damning one versus this one where I think you're just like, hey, we can't always just make up for the problems, but you're right. They didn't meet the moment. And it felt like kind of a more terse game than normal for them in the sense that infighting, right? Tranquil's yelling at him and, you know, we saw on the offensive line when you were talking to Kingsley about this or Jawan Taylor, we saw, who was it that was yelling at Jawan Taylor after the penalty? Kelsey was on his ass.
He was hot.
After Jawan Taylor got called for another penalty. So, I mean, it's just very uncommon for them. And look, probably for the same reason that fans feel bad. Their last win was January last year. not that important, but that was the last time they won, was the AFC Championship game. So it's probably been a little while since they got to feel good about themselves. Last game they played, they got their ass kicked 2 games ago. Then this game, they didn't get their ass kicked, but they didn't play anywhere near their normal standard. So they're probably like, oh, this is frustrating. We don't like playing football this way. We're a team that wins and is about winning. So beat the Eagles this weekend, and I don't imagine any of that little infighting will happen. Royals, on the other side of the parking lot, had a big series against the Twins, had a chance to sweep on Sunday. Man, could they have used it. Seattle got up like 9-0 in their game immediately. Royals got down 3-0 and were unable to overcome it. Setting aside the things we've already said about this team, Gold, which is you and I are impressed about the fact that they are still playing meaningful games on September 8th, considering the fact that they are without their number one starter for the entire year, 50% of the season for Chris Bubich, 2 IL stints from Lugo, now Bobby Wood Jr. is out for some games because of his back spasms that have flared up, costing him some games here lately as well. I am not going to get mad at the team as long as they are within the amount of games they are from the Mariners when this series starts next week. Yes, I would like them to get an actual playoff spot. Yes, when they got 1 game back, and I'm like, ooh, I got excited like a little kid on Christmas. Like, but could we come in here on Monday and talk about them tied for a playoff spot? And now they're 2 games back. All of that is true. Their problem is their next 4 series are either going to bury them or make me or be a playoff team. There's really no in between. I don't think they'll still be hovering somewhere in no man's land, a game back, hoping for a win or loss. Guardians, Phillies, Mariners, like it's just do or die now. You're either going to be a playoff team after these 4 series, and you're going to be in a playoff spot. You're not going to be still begging a game and a half, 2 games back with 8 to play, hoping that one of those teams loses a series. I think you're either going to play yourself out or play yourself in over these next few.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, they're in the exact same spot that they've been in for a week. This is the exact same story, but there's less games to overcome. And now their star player is out with back spasms, potentially for another couple nights. Like, I don't think anybody necessarily expects them to have him back immediately. So that's problematic for them for obvious reasons based off of the stretch they're in. But, you know, are we going to sit here a week from now and say, hey, they're only 2 back, but then they're down to 12 games remaining? Like, at some point, you have to go and get a sweep. Like, the fact that they won games against the Twins without Bobby Wood Jr., I know you're going to say, that's a positive, sure. But, like, it can no longer be this, like, well, they're just hanging around. Like, they have to go and take it, and that's why this Mariners series next week is going to be massive. Do you actually believe that they will be within 2 or 3 by the time they play the Mariners? They have 4 against the Guardians this week, and then they obviously have a weekend series as well. And that's the issue.
Really,
like, they actually have to be able to, at minimum, split at minimum with the Guardians, but that, as we know, is not really good enough.
Mariners take on the Cardinals at home, where they are significantly better. And obviously the Cardinals have been pretty mediocre a good chunk of the year, but certainly not a laughing. They're not a pushover by any means, but have not been particularly good. And then they have the Angels, a team that did beat the Royals quite a bit, but are not a good baseball
team. If you're banking on them just next week sweeping the Mariners, like, look, I would love for that to happen, but boy, oh boy, that means you still need to be within 2 or 3. If you were to slip up this week and you're 4 or 5 back, you could sweep the Mariners and it still wouldn't be good
enough. At this point, so, I do expect them to be within 2 or 3 games, because if there's one thing I would say is,
you think
probably,
they can stay that if Bobby misses another 2 or 3 games?
Yes, because I think that this team's single, maybe greatest attribute is fight. Like, there were times in this, like, well, they don't look like it on the field. I'm like, this team has had to scrap a huge chunk of the year.
Oh, I don't question the effort
claw,
at all.
Scratch,
I'm not questioning
fight,
the effort.
Dig. I'm not you. Like, fans in general be like, this team doesn't seem like they got any fight. What do you mean? I already mentioned all the injuries they've been having to go through, and they have managed to claw and scratch and stay in this thing somewhere, somehow, some way. So at this point, look, I'm hoping that Cole Reagans, who pitched 3 shutout innings and looked awesome in his AAA stuff, I'm hoping they call him up and start giving him 4 or 5. Because at this point, they got nothing to lose in that department. The whole thing on Cole Reagans' goal, we knew this entire time. Cole Reagans was never going to come back and pitch for this team unless they needed him to pitch for this team. They got 19 games left. They need Cole Reagans. Because of the amount of time he's missed, Lugo's missed, Lorenzen, who's missed time on the IL, they've missed 4/5 of their starting rotation from the beginning of this year at some point in the rotation this year. Some for half the season, some for all the season, some for multiple IL stints. They're relying on Burgert and Kolek and, I mean, all kinds. Get Reagans back in here. And I think they'll find some, maybe not even pretty way, to stay within two or three games of Seattle before that series starts. Is it a long shot to say you got to sweep the Mariners? Hell yeah, it's a long shot.
They just put up 18 runs last night.
But at least they'll still be in it. At least like they are today, playing meaningful baseball on September 8th. I'll take that. Like, I know that it sounds like someone called it loser's mentality last time. And I get it because I've talked about this as it comes to football fans and teams who don't understand winning. But the truth is, as a Royals fan, we know very little about winning. I mean, very, very little. Gold, you were born in the early 1990s. I always forget, 91 or 92?
91.
I always want to say 92. I'm always trying to make you younger. 1991, I was born in 1985. In those time, the Royals have less than, probably, five winning seasons. 13, 14, 15, last year, 2003. So, like, I mean, it's not many winning seasons in the time that we've been born. I guess I get 85 when they won the World Series, but I wasn't alive for it. The time I can remember baseball being played. They have not been a competitive organization for a huge majority of my life. They were, for a short period of time, competitive, 2013, 14, and 15, and it was glorious. And 16, I would argue they were competitive. They just came up short and injuries got them. Since 16, they were awful until they finally got things figured out last year. And now I'll take competitive. I'll take meaningful baseball on September 8th for now. Will that last forever for me? Will that be satisfying enough forever? No,
I understand that. We can have that conversation at the end of the season. Right now, though, I'm talking about, are they going to get into the postseason?
I think they will, because that's where they've been a huge chunk of this year.
And what's going to be required to get into the postseason? And I'm just saying, like, this week, they cannot lose any more ground than where they're at. They have to stay within two if you're banking on the Mariners series. But that's the thing. Like, ideally, of course, you're already in a playoff spot and the Mariners go cold this week or something like that, because no matter what you're banking on the Mariners series, I'm just saying you have to be within two and a half. Sure. If you've slipped to four going into the Mariners series, then you are requiring yourself to sweep them to even have a chance in the final 10 games or whatever it would be at that point in time. That's all I'm saying. Is like this week, every week's massive and all that, but without Bobby now, it looks like for a couple more days.
What would you take?
Yeah, that's the minimum. That's the minimum they have to go.
4-3
because the Mariners, I don't know, who do the Mariners play this week?
I just said it. It's not good. Angels for four.
Angels, okay.
And then they've got the Cardinals.
Cardinals tonight, actually. They start with the Cardinals. That's what it is.
Yep. Cardinals and then four against the Angels.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know, man. Weirdly enough, it's been a fun season because they've managed to stay in it. But yeah, I'm not, like earlier, the text line sent out their stats in right field, DH, and left field. It's like they're the worst in baseball offensively. I'm like, yeah. Oh, by the way, I didn't even need to know that stat. I just assumed that they were the worst in baseball in those areas. And do I still have questions over, like, I don't understand when the righty's in the lineup and Cags and Jensen are both out of it. I yesterday was texting someone because they said they were going to use Carter Jensen and Jack Caglione in pitch hitting situations where they could impact the game the most. And the truth is, in the bottom of the fifth inning, with two runners on, when you're trailing by three and Luke Maley's coming up to bat, I'd hit Carter Jensen. I'd let him have a chance to put the ball over the wall and let him catch the final four innings of the game and see where things goes. But there seems to be a part where the Royals don't want to overwhelm Carter Jensen still, don't want to overwhelm Cags, and don't want to rely on two rookies to help push him over the edge. But what I don't understand about that is they've had to rely on Burgert and Kolek and Noah Cameron, all these other guys, to help get him there. And if you're going to have injuries like Bobby Wood Jr., well, then same problem as a week ago, Gold. You need the fireworks to try to get get as many as you can of these next seven before you take on Seattle. You need as much firepower as you have available to you. That's all.
All right, let's get to it. Now, this is a story out of the UK, because when I read it, you're going to say this would not work in the United States, and I would agree with you. This is why it ended up going to a court.
But I'm going to find out after in the break.
Essentially, somebody got into a tense argument with their boss in the UK. Their supervisor ends up firing them, okay? So what happened here, this woman had worked at a scaffolding and brickwork company alongside her brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and the sister-in-law and brother-in-law served as operations manager and managing director. And keep this in mind, these are family members too. So like an argument among family members that own a business, like that's not necessarily all that uncommon. Her duties, though, paid her over about $50,000 a year, included supervising the office's day-to-day operations, overseeing payroll, meetings, etc. However, one day, and this comes back to like 3 years ago, but the court case just resolved.
Okay.
In May of 2022, while she was rummaging through one of her manager's drawers to complete a task, she discovered documents pertaining to the cost of employing her. The supervisor told that this discovery was extremely upsetting. She believed she was going to be terminated. So she has a meeting. She gets invited to a meeting, and her boss reprimanded her for her performance. Well, the meeting got so tense that at one point she called her boss a Richard head.
Okay. You can't say the other one.
Yeah, Richard head.
You already said one. Yeah. We both have slipped up in the last
month.
Yeah,
we
got to
be careful after the last couple of weeks. A D head. And the judge said that's not enough. They fired her because of that. Because she said that. And
the judge said,
you cannot get fired just because you call your boss that. And I said, in the UK, that works here. Like, we're in a right-to-work state, stuff like they can fire you for
that. So you don't think I can just go into Spec's office right now, call him that, and keep my job?
No.
Do you think he'd fire me?
Actually, you would not get fired, but you would probably get suspended or something.
Suspended?
You wouldn't
get
fired.
Not just a firm talking to?
He would be so caught off guard by it. There would have to be some tension for weeks, I feel like. Randomly,
an intense moment.
Like, right this second, if you just put down your headphones, walk in his office, let's mic you up, and you just say, hey, Spec, you're a head.
Richard head.
I don't think you're not getting, he's going to be like, what? He's going to be so confused, he's going to think it's a...
Definitely going to be confused.
But if you were in like a real conversation, like you were really upset with something that our boss was doing, and you said that, I don't think you would get fired, but it would definitely be a problem for you going forward.
You know what, honestly, I'm kind of with the UK courts on this. I don't think that should be fireable. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's using more... colorful language, but it's no different than saying like you're being a jerk right now. You should be allowed to tell your boss if they're being a jerk. There's nothing. I don't think that should be fireable.
I don't think
you're having an honest moment between boss and coworker.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can ever say, "Hey, boss, you're being an ass." I don't think you can ever.
I think you should
that.
Be allowed to.
Well, that's a different conversation. Again, in Kansas, they can fire you for whatever the hell they want, right? Isn't that the thing? Is that Missouri too?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
So they don't need a good reason.
I mean, they can just get rid of you for whatever.
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is that I think bosses and coworkers should have open communication in which we discuss these things like normal people. And if, Gold, you and I were having a conversation and I thought you were being a Richard head, I think I should be allowed to say it.
Well, to your coworker, I think you're just not the boss. I think if this person said it to their coworker, they obviously wouldn't have got fired. So it wouldn't have mattered. To your coworker,
I think they were just looking to fire him anyway. They just used it as a reason.
This was a family business, too. That's the other problem.
That does not help. Honestly, that should excuse it even more.
Yeah.
You talk different with your family than in other circumstances. We all agreed to work together as family. You're going to have to accept that I speak to you like a not normal boss, coworker, subordinate.
Someone on text line says, this is why you just don't mix the family business. Don't do the family business.
I mean, generally speaking, I would say that's a good idea. Some people manage to work it out, you know?
So she was awarded $40,000.
That's it?
That's what she got. Well, her salary was only $50,000.
She got almost a year's salary?
Yeah.
I'm hoping her court stuff got covered. That's a long time to fight that fight, though.
3 years later.
3 years in court.
Someone says, join the union, you can say anything you want.
I'll be a tenure track professor. You get tenure, then you really can. You can just get away with anything, man. It's hard to get rid of you at that point. Yeah. I don't teach enough classes.
Your class is not on, you're not on the tenure track even.
I am not. I'd have to get a master's degree.
Adjunct professor or whatever, but yes.
I do not
someone
plan
says
on getting
I can't
track.
Read the full text, but someone from the 913 he says,
okay.
One of the greatest days I've had at work is when one of my coworkers called our boss a, let's just say it's definitely a word that starts with a C that we cannot say on the air. Our boss asked him, what did you try saying to give him away? But 56 times in a row, this guy dropped that word on their boss. It was epic, did not get fired.
56 times? Oof, man.
Jeez. They count it out as...
I don't know.
Insane.
It was enjoyable for you because like you watched your coworker go off. Obviously, like you were not in jeopardy of having any consequences.
Like,
so. But watching someone else just go DEFCON, you know. Oh, man.
It would be satisfying. Very satisfying.
That is the trash of the day. Up next, we're going to get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk about that offensive line performance, both from the rookie and from the vet on the right side of that old line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments, Maurice's.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
All right, next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
We'll get into the bigger picture Chiefs scenarios in about 8 minutes or so and where they go from here. But we haven't talked a ton actually about the offensive line yet today. And that was the number one storyline heading into the training camp in the offseason. Obviously Josh Simmons, we can start with him, but if you want, but I would rather talk about Juwan Taylor, because that to me is much more concerning, frustrating, given what has happened in years prior. You know, Josh Simmons as a rookie, I thought he was fine. I'll use that word. He was fine.
Yeah.
That's what I would describe Josh. He was fine in the
game. Couple of big blocks, couple of missed blocks, but overall, decent job.
Juwan Taylor, though, we're back to this again. We're back to the prime time, making mistakes, multiple false start penalties over three quarters there. We're back to in crucial spots coming up with holding penalties. As a veteran on this team, we're doing this again. He, this go around, has, I think, a legitimate backup behind him. He, in my, I don't know if Andy Reid's leash is as short as mine. He has one more game. If on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles, if he goes out there and has another three false start penalties and a crucial holding call, Jalen Moore should get an opportunity in week three. I don't think his leash is that short. I think fans want him pulled already. They're not making that switch now.
No, that's a little faster than teams operate.
It's a week or so for me, and I would be willing to make a switch. That stuff just cannot be happening for a veteran. Like, we know the money they're paying him. Okay, so he's a starter. All right, he won the job and all that. But as we get further into this thing, if he is hurting your team, then that part will not matter. It'll be, hey, Jalen Moore is better than you at this point in time. If you can't clean up the false start stuff, I don't care if you're getting picked on, figure it out.
I do think, genuinely speaking, I watched, as you did, a lot of NFL this weekend. Other players do what he's doing. He is being called at a disproportionate... I'm not going to defend him here in a minute. But he is still being... Chris Collinsworth might have ruined that man's career. He is still called at a disproportionately higher rate than any player in the NFL because of one Sunday night football game in which Chris Collinsworth was losing his mind over it. So, setting that aside, I'm with you. Sir, you got 5 days, 6 days. If you look like this again on Sunday against the Eagles, and you have two more false start penalties and a holding call, get your ass off the field. And the truth is that you weren't ever afforded that luxury at any other point under Juwan Taylor's career, because you had other problems to solve in the offensive line. You couldn't be bothering dealing with a average right tackle who had severe penalty problems. You had to deal with your other bigger problems on the offensive line instead. You signed Jalen Moore to a good-sized contract. If Juwan Taylor can't handle it, then Jalen Moore should be the starter. I don't even think this should be up for debate, honestly.
Yeah, you don't think they're making the switch this early. No. You would admit that that's not happening for another game or so, at least.
No, probably not. Yeah, yeah. By the way,
I would still start Juwan Taylor this Sunday. I know it's easy to hop on Twitter in the moment and be like, all right, bench him, let's move on. Organizations just don't operate that way if you're a veteran. I understand last year. Hell, Kingsley got a game and a half last year as a rookie at left tackle, so I sure as heck know they're not benching Juwan Taylor after one game.
Yeah, that's true.
But
he's getting at least two.
It's on firm watch. I mean, if it's another problem on Sunday, I would have no problem with them doing that. Let's see what happens on Sunday for him. But that,
blame the injury if you want. Put him on the short-term IR and say it's the knee. I don't really care how you want to soften the blow for him. He is the most penalized offensive lineman in the NFL since signing with the Chiefs.
Yep.
No player in the NFL has been penalized more than him. I mean, it's out of control at this point. He's an active drive killer. Like, you can't constantly, because he doesn't just false start. He holds, too. He gets called for a lot of holdings.
That's where I think if he's causing problems in the middle of a game, you have to bench him. Like, if he's ruining drives because of a holding and it's consistent or it happens over the course of two or three drives, you have to sit him.
You and I talked
about
this.
It's costing you points. Yeah. You have to.
I just don't know if Andy will do that to a vet in that spot. I think we're all for the most part in agreement that the leash should be very short. You have a reasonable backup this time around this year. You didn't have that last year. If it continues to be an issue, I don't think we're gonna be sitting here. Maybe I'm way off. Sunday afternoon, he's got two false start penalties, and it's halftime. I don't think Jalen Moore's starting the second half. I just don't think Andy Reid will do that quickly for a veteran. But I certainly will be right there with everybody that if it's another game of that, then heading into week three, I'll be saying, hey, it's time to go ahead and get Jalen Moore going.
I just, you know, we talked about this before the season. I told you I would like it to just Jalen Moore have an open competition to win it at right tackle from the beginning. And you and I both knew that was unrealistic on based where the Chiefs would handle it. I was just talking about a personal preference of what I thought should have taken place at the beginning. But you and I, at that same time, discussed this very thing. That if Juwan, I said, fine, we agree that Juwan Taylor is going to start from the beginning. But at the same time, he should have, if he struggles, the right to get the job later, if that's the case. Guy can't stop getting penalties. It's crazy. And look, I genuinely think he's being picked on by the NFL at this point. He is being called it at a disproportionately higher rate than any other offensive lineman in the NFL. This is very common practice. Tons of them do it. I saw it 60 times between every football game I watched. A guy looked like he starts about the same time as him. They call, but like, you also know you're a marked man. You're going to have to lose some blocks in order to get them to stop thinking about you doing it. You have to make an adjustment to how they are refereeing you. How they're calling you, it's different, so you got to adjust to that.
Yeah, someone said they pulled Juwan Taylor a couple years ago. Yeah, for like a few plays. We're talking about if they pull him as in Jalen Moore's the starter moving forward. Different conversation. Like, sending him out for a drive is different. Yes, they have done that his first year in Kansas City, that second week or that first game when it was ridiculous when he became a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. We're talking like if they pull him, Jalen Moore should be the guy. I think that leash is much longer than we would like to.
What do you think their leash is? A month?
I think Andy would give him a month, truly. Yeah.
Matt Verderam did some numbers. Over the last 2 years, Juwan Taylor has been called for 36 penalties. No other NFL player has even been called for 30 in that span. So it's not like he's just leading drastically.
Yeah.
To give you some numbers behind what you're saying.
Yeah. It's not even like I was saying offensive lineman. He's the most penalized player. Now, of course, offensive linemen have more chances to be penalized for things versus, you're a wide receiver.
I still think if they hit a deep shot to Tyquan Thorin, and there's a holding call, and it's on Juwan Taylor. You have one more series. It's not like a false start. Who cares? But if it's a holding call on a big play, or it takes back a big play, that's a big problem. And I think that's the one where you get tired of it.
Yeah, that was that.
Simmons allowed, I think, five pressures was the total from PFF. Yeah. He allowed five pressures.
I would just describe Simmons. He was game one fine. Nothing new. Like, he was fine.
Honest to God. Think about how bad Juwan Taylor had to be for us to not discuss the fact that Kingsley was a turnstile in two different plays.
Oh, man.
I mean,
that one play. On the Kelsey touchdown.
Were you trying to block someone?
That was unbelievable to go back and watch on the touchdown play. You're watching Kelsey, and then you notice that Kingsley just like, did he just step aside?
Just like, excuse me, kind sir.
He got beat straight away. He got beat right off the ball. It was
yikes.
And on the deep pass to Hollywood Brown.
Oh, no, yeah, on that was the one.
Khalil Mack just said, excuse me, mm-hmm. I'm trying to get through if you don't mind. And just let him right through. And look, Kingsley's not supposed to be great at it right away. Part of this is pay and performance do matter. Juwan Taylor is the second most expensive player on this team. He makes almost the identical amount of money on the cap as Patrick Mahomes. So, like, you can't just be, look, I'll take average. At some point, you're paid what you're paid, and I just need to play. But you can't be penalized every drive and making 2nd and 5, 2nd and 10, some false start. You can't make a hold where they're getting played. It can't be every drive. So, you've got to be able to get it together.
So, about the offensive line, about Kingsley, I have a question. So, they ran the ball 10 times with that, or 11 times Patrick Mahomes. Is there a point where it's like, you know what, Kingsley, you're really good at run blocking, but we don't run the ball enough for you to be in this game. We need somebody who's going to pass protect better. And you just go with it. Like, and you go with Caliendo or whatever the case is, just because you're great at run blocking, but we don't run the ball enough. And or maybe they need to adjust to doing that, to your point earlier, Cody. But we don't run the ball enough for you to not give us enough in the pass protection game for you to be starting at left guard for us.
Yeah, so I agree that over time, yes, but also it's what you just said. If that was their determination, then he wouldn't have started the season.
Yeah. Again, you mentioned Kingsley got a game and a half, and they weren't even sure about him. So it's not to say that this can't take place or any outside of that. It's just he should be on a short leash. I don't know that he'll be on as short of a leash as you and I are talking about. Seems like, you know what my guess is? If you made me predict right now, same thing, Gold, even money, you gave me $1,000, I had to bet it. I'd actually bet that Juwan Taylor is the starter the whole season. And like, just because knowing how the Chiefs operate, like it's more than likely Juwan Taylor is the starter for 17 games this year than he's not. That would be the odds on favorite. But it's kind of inexcusable when you're talking about a player playing as bad as he did. Then you go back to the entire game. There's just so many different ways to look at it. But you and I do agree on one thing. The bigger problem coming out of that game was the fact that the defense looked very incapable of stopping the Chargers at any particular point. Chargers kept passing it on them. They had no answer. The pass rush did not have a consistency. The secondary got picked on. The linebacker core looked out of place. Like, the entirety of the defense looked like they didn't know where they were supposed to be going. It looked like there were communication issues. That or you were just severely untalented. They let Quentin Johnson pick on them. They let the running game pick on them. They let Justin Herbert pick on them. Like, that would be that's at the top of my concern list right now. Even ahead of Juwan Taylor or the other things we're talking about is, can you stabilize defensively quick? Because normally I would say, I don't care if your defense doesn't figure it out to week 6 or 7 like it used to. But because there's no Xavier Worthy, no luxury time now. Defense has got to kind of figure it out here quick.
Yeah, that's the number one thing out of the game. Not only did it look a lot like the Super Bowl performance, especially the first half against the Chargers, but what they did against the Eagles, I think it is really, what do you believe this defense can do the rest of the season and over the next couple of weeks? Because offensively, I'm not saying it was good. It obviously wasn't. They're once again down their top two playmakers. We just got done talking about the O-line.
Oh, horrid start.
It's a huge problem. I still have way more faith between Mahomes and eventually getting Rice back, and I still think at some point they'll get Worthy back, that will correct itself to a certain extent. But defensively is the real question. If your offense is going to struggle, like it did at times last year, your defense has to meet a certain level of play.
Yeah,
and of course they did not do that on Friday. It's a big reason why they lost. And so how much faith do you have in Steve Spagnuolo to get this defense to a level where they can prop up the offense, or they at least both can be equals to a certain extent, and you're going to win some games if you do that? Steve Spagnuolo has a track record of defenses growing as the year goes on. Now, the last 2 years, they've been a really, really good defense. So they were good immediately. But if you and I had this convo, probably like 2023, I think, was the last year. They got off to us in 2022 as well. Defense slow start, and we're like, will they get better by week 10 or 11? You and I even did like a deep dive a couple years ago, like historically, Steve Spagnuolo.
How much better they get after week 8?
Week 9 or week 8 and later. Yeah. So I do have faith they will get better. The tricky part is your schedule's brutal. Your offense is not getting either of your top weapons probably back anytime soon. We know Rice for sure 5 more weeks.
Week 7.
Worthy, yep. We'll see. So what does that look like? do I think that some of the stuff is easily correctable? I actually do. The communication stuff where they're running into each other on defense and causing guys to be wide open, I actually think that can be corrected pretty quick. The pass rush, the speed, is that like, that's my
corners, because Quentin Johnson was doing some work. Yeah.
But like, I would say quicker. Why is Christian Fulton not playing much? Why is Christian Fulton, who you signed in the offseason, is he coming back from the injury still? Because Christian Fulton, we all thought when he got signed, would be the number two corner.
Barely played.
Allowed Trent McDuffie to play inside a little bit and help you out. We didn't see any of that really until the second half. I think the second half Fulton played a little bit. I don't know what the snap count was. But so there's some things that are identifiable, some easier than others. Some I think are going to take weeks to fix. Like Jaden Hicks, it could take weeks till he gets more comfortable in that role. That's a problem. But the running into each other stuff, like that actually, maybe you disagree. Like I'm less concerned about that because to me that's an easier fix.
I just think they have to, sadly, and I don't want to, like, it's way less enjoyable to watch, but I know.
What are you watching over there, Drew?
She never painted. Don't worry about it. Is that what it said?
That's what, I don't know what he's watching.
I have
over
no
there.
Idea what that was, but I do have the I actually don't know what that was. I have your computers are on and this is on, okay. But there's no audio.
I thought it said she never painted
something. I don't know what. Yeah,
my computer is turned totally off. That's something from you guys.
What are you talking about?
No.
I didn't touch anything.
People watch on video. None of us were anywhere near our computers.
I have
one thing pulled up, and it's the text line. No,
the browser is closed. I just have the audio.
The only thing that is on are your computers, the phone, your microphones, and then whatever is coming out of. To peel back the curtain, wide orbit over here, and I have not clicked on anything.
Well, I don't know. Do you have anything pulled up besides the text line?
I have things in queue, but not on air.
I have a text on my computer. All I have on the computer connected to the board is the audio system. Anyway.
All right.
We'll never find
nobody's to blame in this situation.
Back to Christian Fulton. No, I got to be honest. That was a huge part of what I thought their defensive game plan was in the secondary was, we'll be better at corner. That will allow us to cover the safeties. The problem was is that the young safeties might just need more time to get them acclimated. But at the corner spot, they keep using Shamari Connor as a corner. And for the second straight year, he's their worst defensive back as a corner. Yeah. He's not a bad player. He's their worst corner. And so, like, they keep using him there. I thought Fulton would solve that problem. He got 15 total snaps. He played 23% of the game. Jalen Watson played 98%. He played all but one snap. Trent McDuffie played 100% of the snaps. So you're like, okay, that goes in there. Brian Cook played 100% of the snaps. Jaden Hick played 60%. Connor, 98%. You want to know what the biggest difference is? Before we get to anything else, switch Connor for Fulton, and then let's see what we got. Like, that's what I need to see eventually on defense is, what does your unit look like when you flip what I thought was supposed to be the switch the entire time? They know they have problems on the pass rush. You know I know that? It's because they keep using Leo Chenal as an edge rusher on third down. So they knew from the beginning they didn't have enough rotational defensive linemen that they would rather have Chenal rush the passer on third down than defend. And look, they can say, no, that's because we like him as a pass rusher.
Well, I think there's some truth to that, obviously.
But that still means, but I don't think you'd feel that way, Gold, if you had the level of pass rushers you were expected to have. You know?
It felt like George Karlaftis was close five or six times, but never got home because Herbert could step up in the pocket because there was no interior rush, and Herbert was able to do his thing after that. I mean, George was... He was working his butt off to try to get there. It just never happened because Herbert was able to step up in the pocket, and whether you want to blame Chris Jones or whatever the case is, Herbert was able to evade and go from there.
Chris Jones didn't have a great game.
No, but it's gotten to be really problematic for them that teams are willing to double and, in fact, one-time triple team him because they're not worried about Karlaftis or somebody else getting home. And so then it's making Chris Jones not effective. And then, of course, we all know how it ended, the 3rd and 14, and Chris owned it in postgame after going at it with Drew Tranquil towards the end of the game. 3rd and 14, they're in man-to-man coverage, and he goes inside, loses outside contain, Herbert runs for 15 yards or whatever it was.
And that was definitely his fault.
And he owned it. He owned it. But, like, that's the kind of stuff that you don't expect from a veteran player, though. That's where it's like, what are we doing here?
Tranquil was on him.
And he should be. And they're both fine. I don't think anybody needs to worry about, like, the...
Oh, no.
There were
some very
heated moments.
That's just, these are all very competitive people. Juwan Taylor, Travis Kelce thing, not worried about that incident either. Like, these are just guys that want to win at a very high level and have won at a very high level. And they all know that they're, guys weren't executing the way they should. Those are the plays that were so jarring, is the ones where, like, your veterans are out there making mistakes like that. That's you know, you get the third down stop. I don't know how the game ends. I don't know. Maybe we're talking about how the Chiefs stole one again.
But they would have been down eight and had a chance. And Mahomes was playing at a point that, I'll be honest, the way Mahomes was playing, I'm pretty sure he's going down to score a touchdown. That man was willing himself into an excellent performance across the board. But yeah, you're right. We can't be promised that it ends any particular way outside of that. But I mean, at least you would have still had some sort of hope. By the way, if you're looking for gear, because the Chiefs upcoming game, looking for the best Chiefs gear in town, look no further than Rally House. That's where Gold and I will be on Thursday. They have the most outrageous selection of Chiefs merchandise in town. And the best part is that you can shop in-store or online. Check out Rally House locations throughout the KC metro area, North Kansas City, Lenexa, and the Plaza Power and Light, Independence, Overland Park, and more. Find your local Rally House at rallyhouse.com. And don't forget, their online website open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We will be at the Berry Roads Crossing location this Thursday to get you set up there as well. We're going to have a gift card register to win for a chance there as well. Gold's going to be a great time. We'll see you at Rally House on Thursday.
Yeah, looking forward to hanging out there. We also like going different parts of town. Sometimes we go some areas and people are like, hey, you guys are not out here very often at certain areas. So it's always cool to go to different spots.
Sorry, I thought you were going to say something.
What? Drew shouted in my ear and is still... Okay, let's go out there. Yeah, I can't tell if he was on the air talking or yelling in my ear. I'm not sure. Let's go and hear from Andy Reid. He's 15 minutes early.
And then he's rehabbing and working his shoulder, and we'll just see where it goes day by day here, see where we end up. As far as the game goes, we've got to obviously coach better and play better. I take full responsibility for that. So, and we'll get that worked out. There were some good things mixed in there. But there's some things we've got to fix. And I know the players are aware of that. And, the coaches are aware of it. So, we'll get busy on that. We've got a good Eagles team coming in here and look forward to playing right here at GH Field, Arrowhead Stadium. I guess a good football team. So with that, time's yours.
We'll go first to Pete Sweeney.
Coach, I was wondering just how close you feel Jalen Royals could be from the injury standpoint. And then just considering you may not have Worthy, just where he's at and confidence level in his offensive game.
Yeah, Jalen's doing a good job with his rehab. We'll just see how that ends up this week. We've got a couple days here that we've had, so guys are making good progress in that. But we'll see where it rolls. If neither play, we've got the guys that we played with the other night that are good football players.
We'll go next to Sam McDowell.
Hey, Andy. Christian Fulton didn't play a full amount of snaps. I know he didn't play in the preseason much until that third game. Just where is he as far as where your guys' preparedness to maybe give him a bigger workload?
Yeah, he's been working in and working out, which is a good thing. And we'll just use him as we go here. How much bigger of a load he gets, I can't tell you that, but he has been working, and he gets better every day, so more comfortable every day. It's not only getting back physically, but also with the defensive part of it. So.
Yeah. And just how would you just assess the pass defense overall?
Yeah, there are things that we've got to work on. Spags got a great grasp of it, and the players, they know. We've got to fix a few things there. Yeah.
We'll go next to Nick Jacobs.
And Sydney, I have a follow-up if I can, please. Andy, for you, what do you want to see from the team here in the home opener mentality-wise when you come out here on Sunday?
Yeah, I think the guys will be fired up, to play against a real good football team. And at home, you know, I wouldn't expect anything less than that.
And then I don't know if you got a chance at all. What from the what stood out to you this week from week one from some of the other teams, if you got a chance to watch anybody?
You know, I didn't look at much. The one advantage that both the Eagles and we had was we had a couple extra days there to dig in on each other. So that's where I spent all my time after going through our stuff.
We'll go next to Todd Lebo.
Hey, Coach, I didn't know if you'd gone back and looked at the thing where Travis got hit by Tart. And they said on TV that the rule was that the fist is not a closed fist. You don't get kicked out. Do you understand exactly what happened to that rule? Was there any explanation to you why that Tart wasn't ejected from the game?
Yeah, I don't understand that rule. I mean, I guess it's open hand, fist, or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I don't know all of that, what their decision was on that. He definitely got hit in the head pretty hard, whether it was a open fist or a closed fist.
And then the play where Travis and Xavier ran into each other early, I didn't see a really good replay of exactly how it happened. I know, I guess those things just happen when you're running those kind of mesh routes, but it seemed, was anyone pushed on that play or just, they just didn't see each other?
Yeah. I mean, it was just one of those deals. I mean, sometimes that happens and, sometimes that happens with crossing routes, but you hope it doesn't. And very often for sure.
Thanks, Coach.
We'll go next to Sam McDowell.
Andy, we didn't get a chance to ask about this after the game, but just the halftime thing, just wondered if you could explain to us your guys' arrival on the field at half there for the second half.
Yeah, I think it probably went a little longer than what we were given. And so that was it.
Okay, next to Herbie.
Hey, Coach, good morning.
All right, Herbie.
Hey, just a quick follow-up on Todd Liebel's question on the TARP incident. Is that a play that you're able to reach out to the league and attempt to get some clarification on that?
Yeah, I think it's the open hand, closed hand deal. I'm not sure how you determine that, but which hurts more.
Are you able, though, to have you heard from the league, or do you plan on asking for clarification?
Yeah, I'll work out that with the league. I mean, I can't get into all that, Herbie. I don't have enough money to do all that.
Okay.
Thank you, Coach. That's all we got for you today.
All right, so that was Andy Reid's press conference here on a Monday, brought to you by Arvest Bank, believing in the power of serving others. If you're wondering, you just tuned in maybe in the middle of that. Andy Reid was asked about Xavier Worthy, or at least started his presser talking about Xavier Worthy. Just said he's rehabbing. They'll see how it goes. So we didn't really get any more clarity. We know the Ian Rappaport report yesterday said dislocated shoulder. He's getting a second opinion, whether or not surgery is needed or if they can brace it up. But we didn't get any more clarification from Andy on that.
Nope. We'll get a little more of an answer. We'll react to some of this stuff, yeah, including what he said about Christian Fulton on the other side. But yeah, when he says day to day, that could mean 4 weeks or he's done forever. So like the timeline part of it is
we didn't get
unhelpful.
Anything there. Yeah, but
got hope for Schefter on that end.
Let's react a little bit to what he had to say. Plus, get to what's trending. That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.